Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. Today, I'm talking to my jet setters, and we're going to talk about avoiding jet lag. What are my tips to beat jet lag? And I've done some research, and I travel a lot. I go to lots of lectures and meetings around the world. One of the perks of my amazing passion for aesthetics this year is I've been invited to so many lectures in different countries. I love travel, but I do not love jet lag. I did some research for you. And one of the most important things you can do to hack travel is to really use these tips for avoiding jet lag. So there's a really cool app. It's called Time Shifter, and you can input your travel schedule and it can spit out a plan for you. Starting a couple days ahead of your trip, you tell the app where you're going and it will tell you when to go out, when to avoid light, when to bathe in natural light, when to drink your coffee, when to take your melatonin. It kind of takes all those time zone shifts and all the calculations out of your head. So you can gradually adjust for a day or two before you leave. When you get there, you're going to be so optimal. And on the way back, you're going to phase back into your normal routine. And it works really, really well. It's called Time Shifter. So try that app for jet lag. Now, the research on jet lag is limited. A lot of it's on athletes because, of course, they travel and they have to be optimally performing when they land, get off the plane, and get on the game field. So a lot of this research is based on athletes. And I think as a lecturer and a speaker, I have to perform like an athlete too. I might have to take a red eye, get off the plane, and jump into a cute outfit and ride on a stage. And I got to perform my best. A recent article in Sports Medicine Journal by David Stevens, he's a physiologist from Australia, he kind of broke down his tips for best athlete performance. And I think this applies to everyone. So first off, try to understand the workings of your own circadian body rhythm, your own internal clock that tells you when it's time to fall asleep and when it's time to wake up. We have our own internal clock. It's very hard to fight nature's circadian clock that's born into you. Like, I am a night person. It does not matter how many people tell me I need to get up at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning, and be productive. I just can't. I'm really productive late at night. I'm a really late night owl. And so my circadian clock is going to be a bit different than those of you that are early risers. So number one, know your circadian clock. And number two, we have to take advantage of what sleep researchers call Zeitgebers. These are time givers, external factors that set the pace of your circadian rhythm. And guess what's the most important one? Probably daylight. Light is the most important one, but exercise, meals, and social cues can trigger your sleepiness and also your wakefulness. And you have to use these Zeitgebers in your life to get you on track. And one thing with travel, start your time zone adjustment a few days before your trip. One of your best strategies is if you're going westward to go to sleep an hour later each night. And allow yourself to stay in bed an hour later if you can in the mornings. So start to adjust your westward journey. Traveling eastward is a little harder. And if you're heading eastward, it's pretty brutal going from the west coast to the east coast. And it can take up to 7 to 10 days to adjust. You're going to bed later than normal. And that's easy to understand because you're tired in the evening. But now, traveling eastward, you're wide awake. It's really late at night on the East Coast, and your body's like, I'm awake. I'm ready to do things. So you have to sleep when you're not tired and you're not ready to go to bed, so that's confusing. And to make matters worse, one of your peak performance times when you're most alert is like around 7 p.m. So in these cases, prepping by going to sleep earlier and getting up earlier, taking in lots of morning light, this is what you can do if you're traveling eastward. Definitely strategize for that. It's a good idea to sleep on the flight if you can, if you're going east, but try to align your sleep with the city you're going to. So if you know that you are gonna land and it's gonna be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're gonna have to fight that napping urge and stay awake on your flight. It's difficult to sleep these days on these upright plane seats, and as much as possible, I try to get business class if I can, just because it helps with my neck and my posture. And if you're sleeping because you're landing in the evening hours and you need to be asleep at that time, Remember, you can always lay your tray table down, put your forehead on it, put like a soft, fluffy sleep pillow there, and put on the eye shades and the earplugs. You want to do that blackout, black zone, no light coming in, because your brain will get into that mindset. If you're landing late and you need to be in the sleep zone to match the time you're in, this is what you need to do. This is what travel correspondents do. And of course, melatonin. Sometimes sleep aids, like a glass of wine, not to be mixed with medications. Sometimes I'll do a Zyrtec, sometimes a melatonin. People do take prescription drugs like Ambien. I think this is to be avoided. It can affect your judgment. It can make you feel hungover the next day. I definitely do not recommend prescription sedatives. This is not good for physiologic deep REM sleep, and you can develop dependencies. And alcohol, actually, as much as it can make you a little tired and relaxed, is a sleep disruptor. And so you might drink because it relaxes you and puts you in a good mood, but just keep in mind it's going to disrupt REM sleep. And for women, alcohol makes all these perimenopausal symptoms of sleep worse. So you drink a lot, you're going to feel more night sweats and a little more miserable wherever you're going. Manage your light intake. When you land, it's so important to take advantage of the time givers, the Zeitgebers. When light hits your retina, there's a signal that goes to your hypothalamus. Your melatonin secretion from your pineal gland is boosted from light. And melatonin is what makes you, daylight will trigger alertness, and melatonin makes you feel sleepy, but secretion of melatonin doesn't start until there's a dimming sunsetting effect at the end of the day. So if you're hitting a new time zone, getting into the early morning light, waking up early, getting some rays when you go jogging is a great way to sync your circadian clock to the new time zone and let your body adjust. You're going to feel the warmth of the sun on your face, the early morning light, and the late sunset glow. These are the times of day when you can really help improve your pineal gland, your melatonin levels, and adjust you quickly to a new time zone. Right now, I'm using a wonderful clock that one of my patients gave me. It's called Hatch, and this clock turns on a beautiful glowy light at a very dim level an hour before my alarm clock starts to go off. It actually improves lightness, brightness. It turns on almost like the sun rising, so I get this gentle awakening with light an hour prior to the actual alarm clock jolting me awake. And that has been so beneficial to just make me feel mentally alert and not jolt me out of my deep REM sleep. So I think that's the same thing you can do if you don't want to carry your time clock with you. The best thing to do is kind of go outdoors as soon as you wake up. Taking a melatonin before bed coupled with daylight exposure, this is great. Don't forget the blue light on your phone can disrupt your sleep at night, so flip that thing upside down or charge it in another area. I like to stay awake till at least 9 p.m. at my destination. That's a really good rule. You can take naps, but I like to do a European power nap. This is a shot of espresso followed by laying down for 20 minutes, 20-minute snooze. When you wake up, that espresso is running right through you, and you feel refreshed and rejuvenated. This is what the Europeans do. They take a siesta, and they take their afternoon espresso, and then they wake up, they're ready to go, and this is what we should try. I love the idea, and it works so well for me, and it worked all throughout raising my kids. Whenever they would nap, it would be the European nap for me. The espresso. I don't drink more than two shots of espresso. I don't want to overuse the caffeine. Make sure I don't get on caffeine at least 5 or 6 hours before bedtime, because I actually am a slow processor of caffeine. And there's studies you can do now to see if your body processes caffeine quickly, you're a rapid metabolizer and caffeine does not affect you, or you're a slow metabolizer and you are wired for hours and hours after the shots. But I like to limit caffeine exposure to 6 hours before hitting the bed. And so these Zeitgebers, or the time resets that the universe gives us, they're all out there for you. Exercise, temperature change, the light, the food you take in, your bodies follow a circadian pattern. And when you exercise early, go out in the light, give yourself espresso, you're going to adjust to these time changes so well. You're going to feel these circadian clues, and then you're not going to feel so much jet lag. Your afternoon end of the day walk at sunset. These are just kind of amazing things to do anyway when you're traveling and you happen to get a glimpse of a new city. You might be going to a lecture hall all day long, but you owe it to yourself to take a little exercise, afternoon walk, little bit of enjoyment, and get that golden hour at the end of the day. Fresh air just clears your head. So those are my tips for travel. I hope you guys have a wonderful end of summer. Plan those amazing vacations. Be a jet setter. And these are the best hacks for beating your jet lag. I know you're going to love them. Try them on your next big trip. And that's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful. Don't forget to find me doing a podcast here every Tuesday and a 5-Minute Friday podcast. All these great tips for longevity, anti-aging, hacking your beauty, skincare, the things you need to know, the secrets. And you can find us on Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, and our website is the same. My amazing TikTok is also Beauty by Dr. K. Hopefully you can come and see me sometime. I'm in Pasadena. Our website is where you can find all our amazing skincare. That is it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.